Are you itching to get out in the garden? I bet you are. If you're an annual gardener, I'm sure you're already lining up your rows and thinking about the seeds you have to buy and all of those good things. Well, it goes on to say, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. My grandson, Kent, tapped my maple trees in my woods and made some maple syrup, and yummy for the tummy. Was it ever, and is it ever good? And then it says, they're full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he has planted. Well, it's spring, and I'm going to be bringing something every day for the next few broadcasts on nature. And I've just finished a series on parenting, and I thought, oh, I want to talk about something that we can see and experience right now since it's spring. So stay tuned, and I'll be bringing some interesting things, I hope it will be to you, about animals. And today I'm going to be talking about the giraffe. And first, before I do, let me remind you that March is Hope for Hoops. And Paul and Hillary and Caleb are just waiting for your call. And you know, I'm sure you've heard many times, that the money that comes in is to cover the 21 wonderful programs that do not pay for themselves, and anything you can do would be wonderful. Well, I'm going to take, as I said, a few broadcasts and talk about nature, and hopefully these broadcasts will cause you to remember that our Lord planned it all for you and me. He's our great creator. And so, as I said, I'm going to talk about the giraffe today. An interesting animal, isn't it? My husband and I went on a safari. Actually, we were traveling from one mission station to another, and we could choose two routes. One would go through the cities, and the other would be going on this safari. And it was the shortest route, and to us, the most interesting. And we saw the animals in their own habitat, and it was such a thrill. We were in a little Volkswagen two-seater with the top open, and we could stand up as we went through the desert, and the plains, and look at the animals. And they were, actually, they didn't run or anything, because I'm sure many people had been on that particular safari. So what a thrill it was, and my sweetheart took tons of pictures. So today I want to talk to you about the giraffe. Well, if you've been reading the news lately, you will have read that a giraffe located at the Harpersville, New York Zoo is going to have a baby. Well, ordinarily, that wouldn't make any headlines. But this time, this zoo plans to video the baby's birth. Can you imagine that? Well, the birth was predicted a week ago, but as far as I know, it has not happened so far. So stay tuned to the news. You might say, oh, come on, Mabel Louise, why are you talking about an animal today? Well, the truth is, I wanted to grab hold of an opportunity to give God the glory for his wonderful animal kingdom. Isn't it easy to see and to watch the many different kinds of animals that the Lord has made and leave the Lord out of the picture? Just assume that they're always there. And by the way, have you watched Planet Earth documentary number 1 and 2? It will thrill your heart as you see God's handiwork in our planet, as well as viewing the many different insects and animals that the Lord has made, and each animal complementing the other. I think it's time to stop and take note of the Lord's gifts to us. And there's been a lot said about dogs and cats. Almost every broadcast you hear advertisements for dog food, cat food, and what have you. And they're wonderful. And many of you listeners out there have one or both. And they are such pals for all of us. I know my husband loved having a dog in our family. And they would follow him around to the garden and to the, as he mowed, and going to the barn and what have you. And he just loved it. And we had a shepherd dog. And then we had a little collie. And how we enjoyed them. But they've been in the limelight long enough. So I want to talk about other animals. And first, let me take you to the scriptures and show you how important that the animals are to the Lord. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 gives us the real story. The first day when God created the earth, God divided the light from the darkness. The second day, God divided the vapor above and the water below. On the third day, land and sea and plant life appeared. On the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars became visible. The fifth day, God created animal life. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas. Let the fowl multiply in the earth." And then on the sixth day, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. That same day God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And then if we turn a page and go to chapter 2, verse 19, this is what it says. "The Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name that they had." Animals were so important to God that he formed them at the very beginning. They are so important not only to us as people, but also to the environment. And the thing that thrills me is how he formed us as individuals. And when you think about it, each animal. And what is so interesting about a giraffe? Well, hang in there and I'll tell you some marvelous things of how God made that animal. First of all, we need to acknowledge that God made the giraffe. Did you know that in China and Arabia, the giraffe symbolizes peace and gentleness? And during the 1400s, when a king wanted to show friendliness toward another country, he would send a giraffe as a special gift. And by the way, they have incredible balance. And when he runs like a rocking chair, tilting forward and then backward and forward and backward. Did you know that he's the tallest animal in the world? That's right. Giraffes have 8-foot tall shoulders. They stand higher than any man, and when he holds his 10-foot neck high, his head is 18 feet above the ground. Wow. What a view from above, wouldn't you say? How precious the Lord uses the giraffe. You know what? He's able to reach the top of the trees for those good leaves and good fruit. And by the way, his tongue is 18 inches long, and that adds to its long reach for food. And this was what I thought was so interesting. Bob Devine, a scientist, wrote this. When the giraffe's head is up, his heart needs to pump gallons of fresh blood carrying oxygen and sugar to its brain to keep it alert and alive. Well, gravity, on the other hand, wants to pull everything downward, including the blood. Christ, our wonderful Creator, built a powerful pump to push this liquid 10 feet to its head. He designed the heart, which is 2 feet long and 10 inches wide, and it weighs 25 pounds. And it's just the right size to force enough blood up a big artery to the brain, which gives the animal all of the oxygen it needs. Yes, the Lord is the great engineer, and he planned those special valves to open and close inside its neck arteries. When the giraffe lifts his head up, the valves open, and that lets the blood go to the brain. And when he drops it with his long neck, the valves partially close, relieving the pressure on its head. And that tall neck serves as a lookout tower for hungry, lurking lions. The two-tone brown checkered body blends in with those big trees, and they're very hard to detect by any prey. And did you know they only sleep 1/2 hour a day? The Lord designed it that way because it's hard to lie down with those long legs. Most of the giraffes come from Africa, where the Lord made just the right environment with many miles of flat plains where they can run and play. And, of course, there's plenty of trees for food. The baby giraffe, and you'll know this when it comes, is called a colt. And it is born at about 6 feet tall. No doubt the Harper's Ferry New York Zoo will keep their promise and let us know when the baby colt will arrive. Wouldn't it be interesting if Mrs. Giraffe was not pregnant? Oh, well, we see that in the meantime, we need to remember to praise the Lord for giving us such beautiful creatures to enjoy and to see his wonderful creative power. I guess I can close the broadcast by saying, let's just keep on praising our wonderful Lord who has given us so many different kinds of animals for our enjoyment. So, remind you, keep watching the news. Who knows? Maybe that baby colt will be born today. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.